thing I would like to bring to the council's attention is I called the Secretary of State's office today, and they stated that they believe that getting a separate incorporated entity called Convention and Visitors Bureau of Dunwoody, Inc. would probably not be allowed as being too close to the Dunwoody Convention and Visitors Bureau, Inc. In that regard, we've talked to Joe, who has pretty much stated that there won't be a problem with the current incorporated relinquishing that to the city.
Okay, good. Any other reports you'd like to...
One thing, that current organization, Articles, the non-members, stipulation in the Articles, so we'd probably do a slight tweaking of the bylaws to eliminate the actual members, and we'll have to put some other kind of mechanism in its place for that aspect.
Okay. All right, well, let me... I'm sorry, Dan.
There are two types of corporations generally. You've got director corporations, which are basically governed by a board of directors, which then appoint the officers and run the organization. There is another type of organization that you have the members, and typically a members organization, the members then elect the board, or you have an executive committee that runs the organization from the membership. What we have actually here is a hybrid model that has both the board and the membership, but that particular Articles stated there would be no members, so if we used that shell, we'd have to do some modifications. But that isn't that necessarily a item. The reason why we have members was so those members could actually appoint, one of them was like the trade members. We had a group of members belonging from the retail and restaurant tours that could join, and that gave a ability to elect that board member. We could easily come up with another system for that board election spot.
Okay. Is that the, is that it? So with that, I'm gonna open it up. Is there anything else you want to tell us?
No, that's it for right now.
Sure. Okay. Let me do this. Let me start, Robert, let me kick it to you by looking at some items that you had.
That's fine.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, let me run through them quick. I did send an email out to everybody on the council with a preview of what I was going to suggest. The first one's actually a question. There's a item 1.3 on page 5. I just didn't understand what that was or who that was. It's actually labeled as page 3. It was page 5 of the PDF. It's page number 3, 1.3. The city shall appoint in writing a Dunwoody authorized representative with respect to work to be performed under this agreement.
I think that is the maker of the corporation that we speak of, and that person is going to be Brian. He's the maker of
okay.
the corporation.
Okay, great. I would ask that we add something that indicates that the CVB will adhere to the Georgia Open Records requirements. I think they have to anyway, but let's go ahead and put it in the bylaws. I was going to suggest to council that we, right now it reads that one of the representatives on the board be from either the restaurant industry or the hotel or the retail industry, and I was going to suggest that we just say restaurant, and that we ask the restaurateurs to get together and decide who they want to appoint, and that they appoint one of the people. Unless somebody objects to that, I'll suggest that.
I've got a comment on that. If you look at the CVB, the first and largest benefactor of a CVB is a retailer. The second is a restaurateur, and the third is a hoteler. And they exclude a retailer from being on that board by bylaw, I think would be inappropriate since they are, in fact, they got a dog in this fight.
My sense is that they may be the largest beneficiary, but they're a pretty passive beneficiary. I'm okay either way. It seems easier to do the restaurateurs, and they strike me as being more involved in the whole process than Macy's, right? I mean, we could put somebody from Macy's on the board, but I just don't know that it makes that much sense.
I think that's one of the questions that Brian brought up, and we're going to have have to address in terms of how we nominate this. The PCIB is easy because that's an entity. The Chamber of Commerce is easy because that's an entity. The city of Dunwoody is easy because it's well-defined how we're going to do that. But the only one in there that's not a particular organization that you can go to get a nomination is, in fact, that particular grouping. And the thought was that in the absence of this membership not being available to this particular CBB, the thought was that people would, in fact, come forward that have an interest in this, and then the remaining eight members of that board would then select the appropriate person to represent that particular slot on the board going forward. I'd hate to exclude the retailer because I think there are retailers in Dunwoody that do have an interest in this process around Dunwoody Village as well as down in the center here. And I don't think that, I think making a blanket statement that they're going to be passive, I think you could, you don't have anything to judge that on, quite frankly.
So what is the process on, let's say it's restaurant and retail, how do we envision a group that's so, you know, so spread out? How do they get together and decide?
I think the thought was that we would give them an alternative of putting names forward, and then the eight-member board would then make a determination. It would be the board that selects that, as opposed to any individual IP from the PCIG selecting that member, or maybe the chairman of the chamber selecting that member.
Okay, is that how it's written right now? That is not how it's written right now, but it needs to be modified to accommodate that.
It's written out to the membership, which we found out that SB 82 doesn't provide for a membership CBB.
Okay.
Yeah, I think the other process you can use with that is get a disinterested third party or parties, because it's going to be, I think we have enough retail and restaurant that could become cumbersome, you know, the amount of folks that are getting put up for this. Suggestion to throw out there, and I just would be, say, our state senator or state rep be a, you know, have a dog in the fight there or something like that, you know, from that group, not anything else, or some other disinterested third party. But then, just throwing that out there as a strong one.
I was going to suggest that we try to get the restaurateurs to organize a restaurant association of Dunwoody and create an entity that then can serve as the group that selects who they think will represent them best, instead of having somebody else select who's going to represent them.
That sounds like a long process.
It's, how long does it take? 3 hours to create an organization?
That's the paperwork.
Right, but again, if the only thing this group does is select this person, they've done what we need them to do.
Can I chime in on this? Robert brought this very point up that when I made this motion last time, and I said it really hadn't. And, you know, actually, Robert, I went home that night and I said to myself, you know, the PCID is retailers, and they have, and, you know, I realize they aren't over around Dunwoody Village, but I thought that they would represent, they could bring in the retailers as a whole and bring them under their umbrella, and then the restaurateurs would be a separate entity. That's what I thought when I went home that night, actually. I got myself a note right here about that. But I think those folks are very, very well organized. I think they could put forth a representative, and I don't know if it'd be that much of a hassle with them. I think somebody that knows well about, been around here in Dunwoody, knows well, would be a very good member, and I think they could probably provide that. I've got a couple other questions.
Let me stop you right here and just make a recommendation moving forward, and then we can amend, I guess, as we get this thing iced. But I would recommend, Brian, moving forward, that we write in that it does retail and restaurant, and that the board, as it's seated, would then be given the nominations. They would put out a call, and they decide how they're going to put out this call to restaurateurs and retail. The nominations come in, and then that sitting board then makes a decision. To me, that's clean, fast, and fairly easy. But I'll recommend, and again, we can, of course, amend. But go ahead, Jim.
A couple places in here, it says up to 2%. Here's one of them on number four, annual budget. City reserves the right to provide up to 2%. I thought the law was fairly well clear that we had to provide the full 2%.
It's the full 2%, although you are allowed to keep a small admin fee.
Yes, right.
I'd like to see us strike that up to 2%, because this 2% in total should be given to the CBB to operate. We've hired nine people, or we have nine people on this board that will be making determination on how that money can be best spent. And we shouldn't be dipping around in that money within the city. And that money should, in total, 2% this year and going forward, be allocated to the CBB. So I'd like to strike that annual budget to read. Strike the sentence that said during the initial term, and strike that whole sentence, strike the next sentence after that, and have a sentence in there that said the city will provide a full 2% collected pursuant to the act of the CBB, and take out the option for us to claw back some of that. These people have to have the ability to know how much money they have coming in, and we shouldn't be dipping into that and clawing back some of it for our own observations of what should be done.
Okay, thanks, Dane. Any discussion? We'll try to stay point by point just to make sure that people find it. Any discussion on that point? Okay. If you could send that text to Brian, if you haven't already. Okay, Dane?
Okay. The third point is, and I don't know if it's, I didn't read it clearly in here, that the chair would be selected by the members of the CBB, did I get that right?
Is it the bylaws?
It is?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Okay.
Section 2.11 of the bylaws.
Okay, thank you. The other one is 1.1, I think that states about coming before, I got 1.1L. So, there should appear or requested from time to time before the mayor and the city council, and then later on it states various things in here about reports, etc. I think somewhere in here it's got to be clearly stated that if they give a quarterly report to the mayor and city council at a city council meeting, which in front of the public here, on the operations and finances, and that any other special occasions that is requested by the mayor and city council.
Okay. Section 5 on monthly budget report.
I saw that. I saw that. No, I was thinking a quarterly report to the council and mayor in front of citizens of the city, because we were talking about a considerable amount of money here, and I think that would be something that should be added in there, and on special requests of the mayor or city council at any other time.
Okay, so just clarify, just a quarterly overview report. This would not be the budget.
So just put it in section 1.1. They would do a quarterly assessment.
Or quarterly report to the mayor and city council on the operations and finances.
All right, any discussion on this?
That's at a public meeting?
Yes. In this environment right here is what I see it as.
Work session.
It's work session, whichever, I don't care. There's a couple statements in here, the termination versus fiscal year, that the They're on a fiscal year, but then their termination is 1 year from activation. Is that a little cumbersome, or is that, wouldn't it be better if the termination and the fiscal year would coincide?
Yeah, we can do that. We can make that first year
depends, when you sign the agreement.
Oh, we can make it a partial year in the first year, and then make it this one year.
From after that, it seems like it'd be a clear-cut situation to me.
My only recommendation would just make sure that their fiscal year matches the city's fiscal year.
Oh, yeah.
December.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay. That's a December 31st. January 1st, December 31st. And until I can read my writing down here, I have to pass.
All right, let me throw it. Hold on, Dave. Let me throw it back to Robert. Robert, you left out on 5.
Yeah, right. I was going to suggest that we allow both the PCID and the chamber to decide how they'll pick their person. So just to specify that they'll pick a person instead of trying to decide who they're going to pick or how they're going to pick.
Okay, any thoughts on that? Yeah.
Agreed.
Yes.
Their appointment.
That's right.
We don't need to tell them how to do that.
I think that's where the bylaws are in fact specified. There's not a specific person that's either picked and says the chamber will pick.
Yeah.
Or PCID.
We can't tell the chamber. We can't tell how to do it, I guess.
Well, okay. All right.
Right.
Robert,
so, okay. I thought it was a little excessive to be able to kick somebody off from missing two meetings in a row. That may be true in some environments, but all these people are have full-time jobs, and I don't know what the right number is, but you know, missing two in a row and getting booted seemed like too harsh to me.
There was an exception of that. If they got excused, which I would expect any of the nine people on that would be professional enough to call up and say reason why, and I'm sure you can get an excuse. So, you know, there are times that you get people on boards that are not participating, and I think that's the essence here. We want to make sure that they participate and are committed to this effort.
We will look into what standard.
Yeah, right. You can look at what some other people do. It makes sense. That'd be great. And the last one, two more. Second to last one. I felt like the discussion of a marketing director probably didn't belong in these documents. They may very well want a marketing director, but we have to appoint a director. But then everybody below the director ought to be the CVB's responsibility and not have us going ahead and creating positions under the director. So I just felt like that could come out.
I think the thought in even setting that up was we have a case in DeKalb County where they had 16 people on the payroll there, and they were spending an inordinate amount of people on overhead. And we want as much of the money that we can have here spent on getting heads and beds as opposed to people in the office and expenditures there. And the thought was that they have in Sandy Springs, they have two people plus a part-timer on staff there. And that talks about also the question about the location of this. It'd be nice if they'd be located in the vicinity of City Hall where we can maybe bootstrap off the telephone receptionist combination.
Yeah, and again, I think that's a good suggestion. I just don't know that it belongs in the doc in the bylaws. That again, I'm just trying to clean it. Again, nobody thinks that it's a bad idea for these folks to be located at City Hall or whatever. I just didn't think it belonged in there, and I guess I feel the same way about the marketing director.
At the end of the day, it's going to be the CVB that actually determines what the bylaws are, not this council.
Yeah. Okay.
And I think this is a good thing. It's a suggestion, which is all this is, a suggestion that they put that in there, and they can always change these bylaws if that doesn't work for them.
Okay, that's a good point. All right, Robert, you
had
one more?
Yeah, last one is I wanted to tighten up the discussion of how the representatives from the hoteliers is selected. And I had sent around some proposed language, and it reads, a single representative of each hotel located in the city of Dunwoody shall meet to select three CVBD board members. Should a chosen board member cease to be associated with a hotel located within the city, then their position will automatically become vacant, and a new board member shall be chosen by the representatives of the hotels located within the city, with each hotel having a single vote. So if folks like that, want to change it.
Were you proposing this for the 2.2 in the bylaws, when we do the initial elections as well?
Yes. Initial and ongoing.
Hey, Robert, what section is this?
Hang on. It's actually the place that I was looking at it was at the was in the actual resolution, which is the top of the, yeah. It's the last long paragraph there.
Yeah, it's actually okay.
Yeah.
And it's split by the page.
Like. Yes, right, exactly right. Right at the top of that.
Okay, so that language it's basically just tightening up the language.
Yeah, just tightening up the language. I don't think it's a substantive change.
If I may mention, the one issue I have with that is similar to the concern that y'all had on the two council people getting together and making a choice, is that there is a possibility if all five hotels get together, they can't agree on three. So I think you need an eventual arbiter
of any disagreement listed in the resolution if you're going to go with that methodology.
I'm good with that. Who would you propose be the arbiter?
Well, I'd do the mayor again.
That's okay with me.
Y'all didn't give me a choice, so let me be the arbiter.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. If they can't come up with three, you can then throw it to you. That's an incentive.
I'll put three real quick after you.
Rock, paper, scissors.
So the main point of cleaning up the language, you're right, is basically the thought process that those members come from the actual functioning hotels, I believe. I work in the hotel industry and not literally.
Right. The hotel, you know, the general managers of the hotels ought to be picking who's going to represent them on this thing.
Okay. So do we want that included in the resolution or the bylaws? Because we can reference the fact that the members are appointed per the bylaws and then put this
language
into the bylaws.
That's perfect. That's perfect.
I don't know that you want to do that because once in the resolution that really counts, because the bylaws can be changed by the CPB at any point. So you need to make sure that do both, but I think the controlling document needs to be the resolution.
That's fine. Okay, I'm done.
Okay. Thank you, Warren. City Attorney, Steve. One last point happens to be what Robert has already talked about, and it's 215, that's employees. I think we need to tighten that up just a little bit. I brought this up last week when I made the motion to every organization, has a tendency to take on a life of its own, and therefore I am concerned about this becoming people-heavy, which I think DeKalb County is right now, since they spend, if I'm not mistaken, around 33% of their budget on personnel. And I think as we start out here, an executive director and marketing director, I wonder if they couldn't be dual-hatted initially, at least. But then that's a point that I'd like to make for discussion. And my next point is that an increase in staff approved by the board of directors, I think somewhere along the line it should be also approved by the city council. I don't know the legality of that, but somewhere along the line, we are ultimately responsible to the citizens for this. So I would, hopefully, it'll never happen, but you never can tell of how much things start to build up, and I've seen this too often in government.
Yeah, the Act requires the city to approve the budget. So in the budget, they're going to have the employee expense, and that'll give you a prime opportunity to
chop. Okay. Could they add one in mid-year, and then we wouldn't have a chop at it?
You could have it to where that budget's the budget, and in order for them to make any changes, we have to come back for approval.
Okay, I just thought that if that's, you're good at the legal aspect, Brian, and I'm not, I just feel that I would like to have some type of a cap on the hiring of staff into the, I can pronounce it all right, CBBD. I just think that somewhere along the line, I think there has to be a cap on that in oversight, and it should be us.
I think just let the budget would be the opportunity, and then
you've got a competent committee that will be bringing us.
I was also going to say there's the cap in the staff. It's somewhat guided by the requirements of the hotel motel tax law. You can't just start spending 50% of your budget on employees when the hotel motel tax law requires that you spend that money on heads and beds.
Okay, David, you had I've got it. Just a typo, and it's on page 2 of the agreement, number C, where it says attract investors, contention and meetings. That should be convention, please. We don't want any contention.
Okay, anybody else have anything, John?
I just have one item on number 8, the termination of projects. If I can get clarification, it currently reads, any project begun by the CVBD using funds shall be terminated at any time upon decision of the city. Is that of the city council, is that the city manager? Can you explain the definition of the city?
We'll elaborate on that when we get to council.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions, Tom?
I think we just need to throw this back to the legal team here to tighten up this stuff, you know, come back. They're going to come back to us with it anyway, and I don't know that we need to make every detailed change right here. I'm looking at the clock, and we're less than halfway through our agenda. It's already 9 o'clock, and I know the folks sitting out here in these chairs. I see a few people getting up and walking around rubbing So it's a big one.
That's right.
That was even this. That was a
We know we're award budget. All right. So any other comments on this? We'll move on. All right.